shaping a world that will last, holding the spark as we embark on a great journey together.
You're listening to the Mike Cara Radio Program, I Am the Nation, proudly broadcasting from Woodridge, Illinois, USA, planet Earth.
Well, welcome back to our last segment of this edition of the Mike Cara Radio Program, I Am the Nation. We definitely have our eye on the nation. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, sirree, Bob. As we are proudly broadcasting from Woodridge, Illinois, USA, planet Earth, my guest today is Stephen Chauchette, who is the author of a great book called Hollywood Story, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of Movies. And it's so great that Stephen is back to tell us even more interesting stories about Hollywood. There's all so many great stories. You want to get a copy of that, you can do that through Stephen's website. We'll have some information on our website. You can go to Amazon, and it's a great, I'm so pleasure and honored. You know, to be a little jealous of me, I've got a book right here. I'm holding a book, and it's so exciting. But you can get your very own copy as well. Again, Stephen, it's a pleasure and honor that you can join me on my show today. Thanks so much.
Dan, I don't know how new the book is, Stephen, but do you have any, like, Harry Potter, good Harry Potter stories in this book?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do have a story about Harry Potter, actually. In the book, it concerns Richard Harris, and what happened was is that Richard Harris, he was not wanting to do Harry Potter. He didn't want to play Professor Dumbledore, and he was speaking loudly in his pub about it. He was saying, you know, why do I have to go to Hollywood and be around a bunch of obnoxious jerks? There are plenty of obnoxious jerks here in the pub. And you know, at that time, Richard Harris was taking it easy. He was living in a hotel. He'd been married 3 times, and he thought, he said he got divorced because, you know, he couldn't stand having to be at a place at a certain time, keeping appointments, and he was rich, and he didn't have to work. And so he thought, you know, I don't need this. But then his daughter said to him, or his granddaughter, excuse me, said to him, if you don't do this movie, I'll never speak to you again. And so that's what made him do the film. And once he was on the set, he had a great time making the movie. And he really enjoyed talking with the younger actors, like Daniel Radcliffe, telling the stories of Hellraising and his past. And the movie was a big hit, of course, and the whole thing just rejuvenated him. And he said, you know what, I'm going to be an actor again. And he said, besides that, you know, I got no choice. Now that my friends in the pub know that how I feel about them, I'm not allowed to go there anymore.
Oh, okay. And we understand, Stephen, that in the book you have a lot of stories about Star Trek, including the TV show and all of the movies. What are some of those cool stories?
Star Trek's a huge thing in the book. You know, it's just so interesting, and there are a lot of different stories about it. But one was it concerned the chief of police in Los Angeles in 1950. His name was William Parker, and he was a very respected man, but he was considered also very logical, very taciturn, unemotional, hard to get to know. But he did a lot of things to reform the LAPD and boost up their public image. Like, for example, he worked with the producers of Dragnet, so people could see how hard the LAPD worked as depicted on that show. He made sure that his officers rolled in patrol cars because he felt that, you know, walking through the city streets could lead to too much temptation. He coined the phrase the thin blue line, which meant the police were the only people who stood between civilization and anarchy. So he was greatly respected, but at the same time, people just thought he was a hard guy to get to know. And there was one time he was giving an interview and he said, he was asked about police brutality, and he gave the interviewer kind of a cold look, and he said, I can only hire humans. And as long as I can only hire humans, there'll be human problems. Well, one of the policemen who served under Chief Parker was Gene Roddenberry. And Gene Roddenberry left the force in 1956, and 10 years later, he created Star Trek, and he based the character of Mr. Spock largely on Chief Parker.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely very interesting. Okay, Stephen, and of course, here in the Chicagoland area, Bozo, of course, the Bozo show, at least the Chicago Bozo, had definitely a legacy. Anyone in Chicago definitely knows about that. But I understand that you have a story, actually, about the kind of the start of Bozo and an interesting encounter with a young boy.
That's right. But yeah, in the book, by the way, I've got, you know, so many different stories. There's over like 1,000 little anecdotes, and Bozo was inspired by a children's record, and it wasn't really a syndicated show. It was done. There were like 200 different actors playing Bozo in different markets, and there was this one legend about one of the Bozos that he had one of the contests where a little boy had to throw ping pong balls into a barrel and get a prize. And so the boy tossed them in the barrel twice, but then the third one, the one that would have won him the prize, unfortunately missed. And the little boy hit his face and ran into the crowd. And Bozo followed him with a microphone and said, now, little one, that's a Bozo. No, no. And the little boy lifted his head from his arms, looked up at Bozo on camera and said, cram it, clown. You know, it was unfilmed, it was unproven, but that story kept getting retold so much that after many years of denying it, people, including the most famous of the Bozos, Larry Harmon, began to insist the story was true.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely interesting. Okay, as we get down to the nitty-gritty, Stephen, just a few more tales, if you don't mind. Now, we understand that, of course, Ringo Starr, of course, the legend of Ringo Starr portrayed in the Beatles. He was kind of, portrayed not necessarily as the most intelligent one, kind of the goofy one, but we understand that was kind of an act then, kind of his portrayal then, how he presented himself in public, or...
Oh, absolutely. Of course, Ringo Starr is a bright man, but you know, when they started making the movies, Help and A Hard Day's Night was actually first. Ringo, who was actually the oldest of the Beatles, fell into this sort of they need to take care of him vulnerable type role, sort of like Gilligan on Gilligan's Island. And he sort of became the center of the movies, and he certainly didn't mind. I mean, because it was an opportunity for him to get out there. I mean. You know, early on, the other three had gotten so much fan mail, more fan mail than Ringo had. And, of course, there were a lot of old-time Beatles fans that were still upset that Pete Best had been replaced by Ringo. But he really went over well with the movies. And everybody thought, you know, he's such a natural. And it was a wonderful experience for him. And he didn't mind being the butt of the jokes, at least for a while. And, he kind of laughed. He could laugh about it. Like, for example, one time John Lennon made the statement, Ringo doesn't know the meaning of fear or any other word with more than three letters. And Ringo just was able to laugh about it, you know, because he understood it was kind of a role that was playing out there in the public.
Oh, fantastic, Stephen. Okay, that sounds great. And just once again, we've been giving people a taste of all the great stories that you have in the book. And now, if people like to get the book, you have a website, or where can they get this wonderful book?
Sure, the book is called Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. So like I said, it has over 1,000 little tidbits and anecdotes ranging from all eras of the movie history. And it's available at Amazon. It's available at Barnes & Noble. Any bookstore, you can order it if you don't see it physically in there. The website's hollywoodstories.com. It's also available on the Nook and Kindle for people who would rather have an electronic version. So it's either hardcover or electronic, and the book is called Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. Website is hollywoodstories.com.
Okay, and finally, Stephen, we have to ask, is there going to be a follow-up to this book, or are you writing one, or, I mean, has the idea crossed your mind to do another one of these? Or?
Well, you know, I'm percolating with ideas, and I'm always collecting new stories. This book, Mike, I'll tell you, it represents like 20 years of research, so I don't know, to be honest with you, when the next book will be or what form it will take. I'm sure there'll be some more creative projects. And also, if people are interested, I have two other creative projects that are already out. One, they're both audio books. One's called Tales of Hollywood. The other one's called Fascinating Walt Disney. And both of them actually are different from the book Hollywood Stories. They're audio only, but they're stories, music, and sound effects. And they're really fun too. Right now, I'm just focused on marketing this book, and there's so much material in this book. I think people really enjoy the book, Hollywood Stories.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks so much. Stephen, any final thoughts or anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, no, except there's always new things going on in Hollywood, and the Oscars are coming up, and then who knows, maybe we could talk again.
Okay, that sounds great. My guest has been Stephen Chauchette, and you've been listening to the Mike Carra Radio program, Eye on the Nation, and please catch us again next time.